This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, July 8th, 2003. From Tel Aviv to Texas, dogs and other animals are being poisoned and otherwise tortured in chemical, biological, and conventional warfare experiments. Each year, at least 320,000 primates, dogs, pigs, goats, sheep, rabbits, cats, and other animals are hurt and killed, tortured by the U.S. Department of Defense in experiments that rank among the most painful conducted in this country. These animals are among the 70 million per year who die in the United States from animal experimentation. And the testing for toxicity, for which there is no scientific evidence. Today on Taking Aim, A Vision of Hell, The Unspeakable Torment of Other Species, Part 2.
The U.S. military inflicts the pain on millions of animals each year in experiments. The Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration together are the federal government's second largest user of animals after the National Institutes of Health. They account for nearly half the estimated minimum of 1.6 million dogs, cats, guinea pigs, hamsters, rabbits, primates, rats, mice, and, quote, wild animals, unquote, as reported to Congress 20 years ago. But these figures do not include experiments contracted out to non-governmental laboratories on sheep, goats, pigs, primates, shot and wound experiments, the actual total number of animal victims vastly higher in the multi-millions. Indeed, this is so prevalent and with such extraordinary cruelty that the military testing has been consistently classified top secret, and it is difficult to get information except through the revelations of whistleblowers and through Freedom of Information Act discernment. From published research, it has been established that armed forces facilities all over the United States test weaponry in animals, including biological and chemical warfare agents and nuclear blasts.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals did a survey and came up with some of these examples. In 1988, at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, sheep were placed in loose net sling against a reflecting plate, and an explosive device was detonated 19 meters away. In two of the experiments, 48 sheep were blasted, the first group to test the value of a vest worn during the blast, and the second to see if chemical markers would aid in the diagnosis of blast injury. At the Armed Forces Radiobiology Research Institute in Maryland, rhesus monkeys were strapped in chairs and exposed to total body irradiation. Within 2 hours, six of the nine rhesus monkeys were vomiting, hypersalivating, and chewing, as if the armed forces didn't understand that total body irradiation would cause this effect beforehand.
This is a pattern that's been going on now for 50 years. In 1946, near the Bikini Atoll in the South Pacific, thousands of sheep, goats, and other animals were loaded onto a boat, set adrift, and severely burned by atomic blasts detonated above them. The military nicknamed the experiment the Atomic Ark. At Fort Sam Houston, live animals were immersed in boiling water for 10 seconds, and groups of them were then infected on parts of their burned bodies. In 1987, at the Naval Medical Institute in Maryland, the backs of animals were shaved, covered with ethanol, and then flamed. 1988, at Kirkland Air Force Base, sheep placed in net slings against a reflecting plate, explosive devices detonated meters away.
To evaluate the effect of temperature on the transmission of the Dengue 2 virus, a mosquito-transmitted disease that causes fever, muscle pain, rash, experiments were conducted at the infamous U.S. Army facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. AMRID. This involves shaving the stomachs of adult rhesus monkeys and then attaching cartons of mosquitoes to their bodies so that the mosquitoes could feed openly. The experiment is at Fort Detrick also invented a rabbit restraining device that consisted of a small cage pinning the rabbits down with steel rods so that the mosquitoes could also feast on their bodies.
The Department of Defense operates what are called wound labs. At these sites, which have been in existence since 1957, conscious animals are suspended from slings and shot with high-powered weapons to inflict injuries for military surgical practice. In response to some pressure, Congress limited the use of dogs, a restriction almost entirely ignored, but nonetheless countless goats and pigs and sheep and primates are shot, and cats are included as well. At Fort Sam Houston, goats are hung upside down and shot in their hind legs, and physicians practice excising the wounds. No anesthesia involved. Any goat who survives is killed. The military experiments that subject animals to decompression sickness, weightlessness, drugs, alcohol, smoke inhalation, and pure oxygen inhalation are legion.
Let's look at the chapter Tools for Research in Peter Singer's innovative and revolutionary book, Animal Liberation. Speaking of dogs, at the Lovelace Foundation, Albuquerque, New Mexico, experimenters had used 64 beagles to inhale radioactive strontium-90 that was part of the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission's study in 1961, Fission Product Inhalation Program. In one particular experiment, the deaths occurred with epileptic seizure and brain hemorrhage. Brain hemorrhage, epileptic seizure from high doses of strontium-90, when in fact the government already knew that strontium-90, a highly radioactive substance, would cause death. 50 beagles were also put in wooden boxes at the Rochester School of Medicine, University of Rochester, and then they were irradiated by these X-rays. When 50% of the animals die, with 95% confidence, the experimenters conclude that they've reached a toxicity level. In the process, 700 beagles and other dogs were irradiated with X-rays, so that their injuries produced in these experiments were so-called typical of those described for the dog. Ralph.
The investigative researcher, medical researcher Michael Budke, who is one of the leaders and a director of the nonprofit group Stop Animal Exploitation Now, established that the U.S. military kills on its own records 5 primates a day. It's a sad statistic, and it is particularly sadistic in the way that it is implemented. The use of primates in research is on the rise. The military experimented on nearly 2,000 primates a year by 1999, and the figure goes up annually. These are done without pain medication. The Department of Defense labs more than double the amount of animals that are used in painful experiments without anesthesia. Budke continues that other research labs undertake horrifying experiments involving the subjection of animals to chemical weapons, ionizing radiation, lasers, high-power microwaves, and biological weapons. There is no oversight of this military animal research. The labs that are inspected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture officials rarely implement any recommendations. The Department of Defense has been able to subject primates and hundreds of thousands of other animals to painful experiments behind closed doors. The painful experimentation is so horrific that even the researchers and the lab technicians have been subject to chronic psychological breakdown because of the sustained cruelty on a continued basis that they're obligated to inflict.
Speaking of psychological breakdown, Ralph, an article, March 17, 2000, appeared in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, and it reported experiments that were carried out by the Israeli Defense Forces on animals, and these experiments were so horrific that the soldiers were forced, that the soldiers who were forced to conduct the experiments had to seek psychological counseling. I know you found more information about that, and I'd like to hear it.
Well, the Israeli army, according to Haaretz, the Haaretz expose, has been systematically blowing up unanesthetized pigs with Scud missile explosives and conducting experiments on dogs, monkeys, doves, mice, toads, and guinea pigs so cruel, involving live mutilation, that the soldiers, as you indicate, monitoring the tests, required psychological help, and many of the doctors refused to participate in this these experiments and in these tests. In its lengthy article in March 17, 2000, Haaretz reported that the horrific experiments are carried out on a systematic basis. Soldiers describing experiments on pigs performed to examine the effect on living beings of powerful explosives that were inflicted on bound-up pigs, and the soldier in question told Haaretz, "I still have nightmares about what I was obligated to do. We were a distance from the blast sites, but the horrible screeching was unimaginable. We had to turn our heads away. Pigs were lying, crying and squealing. The blast waves had blown them up internally. The glass that flew in all directions had lacerated them. The walls were covered with their blood, urine, and feces. They looked at us with wide, beseeching eyes, overwhelmed with pain, filled with horror. The stench was overpowering." And it continues, with respect not only to pigs, but to dogs and to cats and to goats and to sheep, and to primates. "The Israeli army conducts cruel experiments on animals," Haaretz describes, "including elaborated experiments on dogs. Several doctors refused to perform the operations, not only because they were cruel, but because they served no purpose and were considered by the doctors to be wholly unnecessary." The article is elaborate in setting forth a continued practice that is not particular to Israel, but Israel has a very specific record with regard to sustained torment and torture of animals under the guise of experiments.
An important article appeared on the Internet, Military Animal Research by Michael A. Budke, and he is a member of the Medical Research Modernization Committee. And their Internet site is mrmcmed.org. He reports that the experiments funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, which take place at 34 DOD labs worldwide, with four outside the U.S., so they are really outside any scrutiny, most of the experimentation is done by the U.S. Army, 80% of it. The experiments funded by the DOD, according to Michael Budke, are typically more invasive than projects funded by other sources, meaning that the universities, which do a lot of experimentation and contracting from the DOD, will subject animals to chemical weapons, ionizing radiation, lasers, high-power microwaves, as Ralph said, and biological weapons. But what the Army itself does is experiments without any anesthesia. There is absolutely no monitoring. So if we look at some of these, such as the experiments on primate colonies, what they found is that the primates often have no body fat, which is a sign that the animals have endured serious illnesses, long-term debilitating conditions, and when they die and they do autopsies for the animals, they find parasites, gastric bloat, pneumonia, chronic wasting conditions. The life stories of these primates is horrendous. They are subjected to amputation of fingers. They are of their other limbs. They are tortured day in and day out.
Amplifying this account was the particular study by Tara Shugru called Cruelty and Medical Experimentation. She cites over 70 million animals who die in research laboratories every year. 70 million animals dying under conditions of torture each year. Animals used in research range from kittens injected with massive doses of LSD to dogs' trachea being ignited, the decapitation of pig fetuses while still in the womb. Many studies done nominally with the objective of finding cures for cancer and AIDS, not a single test, not a single result has been reported to have any application or effect. And one of the fundamental reasons for this, which we'll amplify shortly in this program, is that these studies done on cancer and AIDS used animals who cannot be linked to human conditions. And as Tara Shugru points out, there is great danger in applying experimental results from animals testing to the treatment of human beings. Their brains work differently. It is almost impossible to find a correct correlation between the two in dealing with causes and treatments, specifically with respect to cancer. Artificially induced cancers in animals are not similar to spontaneous tumors that arise in humans. Dr. Erwin Bross, director of biostatistics at the Roswell Park Memorial Institute, found that animal tests have never produced a single advance in either the prevention or treatment of human cancer. And there's a particularly important dimension to this. Over 1,400 chimpanzees are currently being used in medical experiments with specific reference to the AIDS virus. Rhesus, cynomolgus, stumptail, and capuchin monkeys and chimpanzees are being used. They are being infected with the AIDS virus and kept in solitary confinement for years. But one of the extraordinary outcomes of the and revelations that the Tara Shugru study discloses is that all of these monkeys are immune to the disease, and yet they are for years subjected to injections and monitored. The contribution of these laboratory experiments is totally nil. The animals suffer alone. They suffer uselessly. But what is important in particular, apart from the suffering and the revelation of the pointlessness of this experimentation, what is particularly significant is that these monkeys and chimps are immune to the virus, which bears out the work of Boyd Graves and others in establishing that the fiction that the AIDS virus, that HIV that was passed from monkeys to humans, is entirely without basis, and it bears particularly relevance to the lawsuit that is being filed at this very moment in San Diego by Boyd Graves against the federal government, in which he documents the laboratory origins of AIDS as a biowarfare device against Africans, gays, and African Americans. And that pertains to the underlying dynamic of military experimentation and the role of animals in providing the cover for biological weapons, which is essentially an assault upon the victims of imperialism, the class warfare that brooks no limits, that entails biological and chemical and infectious disease as a means of establishing hegemony and of subjugating victim populations who would otherwise be capable of organizing resistance.
Ralph, let's look at some of the experimentation that takes place at universities throughout the United States. This is, as you mentioned, so-called for the advancement of science, to better humanity, to find how humans function and react so that our lives can be improved.
Nominally, the intent is, the rationalization is that the tests on animals is designed to produce drugs and antidotes to disease. The record shows that the opposite is the case.
And also the study of human behavior. But let's look at experiments that took place at Cornell University and the University of Pennsylvania, where they had dogs constrained in what's called a shuttle box. And the dogs were made to run frantically about defecating, urinating, and howling until they scrambled over a barrier. Now, what caused them to run frantically was the onset of electric shock. And what they would try to do normally, as any person or dog or any animal would do, is to escape from the shock. On the next trial, the dog, running and howling, would cross the barrier more quickly, and so on, until there was efficient avoidance of the shock. While the dogs did this, eventually, since there was no means of escape, they soon stopped running, remained silent until the shock terminated. This produced a state of helplessness in which all dogs accepted shock. Now, the experimenters over time then attempted to teach the dogs how to avoid the shock. The point of this is pointless. Everyone knows that dogs, humans, everyone is going to avoid electric shock. Ralph?
The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine did a particular report in winter of 2000 in volume 9 and number 1 of the Journal of the Physicians Committee, which exposed the Environmental Protection Agency tests that were utterly useless. They involved the testing of chemicals on animals that had no application to human beings. It was done on a large scale. It was done in the most cruel fashion. The animals were burnt. They were their eyes were reduced to jelly. The outcome had no bearing on any human application. It was an instrument for fund for arranging grants for an array of scientists and for funding university programs whose main objective was to get the grant money. And the firestorm of controversy arose over the exposure of massive animal testing programs that had been promoted by then Vice President Al Gore and the Environmental Protection Agency, called High Production Volume Challenge. Hundreds of thousands of animals were used to test industrial chemicals in large quantities that tormented the animals and had no application to human benefit. The child health testing program was similarly deployed as a rationale for animal tests in which none of the application of the torment and the chemicals and the radioactive substances had any application child benefit. Military animal experiments were scrutinized by the PCRM doctors, who arrived at the same conclusions with regard to what they called the most gruesome animal experiments, funded as well, not just by the military, but by the March of Dimes, actually on behalf of the tobacco industry, exposed by PCRM's Dr. Murray Cohen, Andrew Breslin, and Stephen Ragland, because the nicotine experimenter Ed Levin, who was injecting nicotine in pregnant animals and their offspring, was heavily financed by the tobacco industry, promoting nicotine's benefits. Report details the fundamental dynamic of this sort of research. It's corruption. It's for money. The science is appallingly inadequate. In fact, quite the contrary, the science is utterly faulty.
Let's look at some of the testing, because each year, any substance that will be used must be tested according to the federal government. And for a long time, there were testing on rabbits, particularly, of cosmetics. And this was called the Dreyse test, an eye irritancy test, where a substance is dropped into the eyes of rabbits, their heads immobilized, no anesthesia is administered for a period of 3 to 18 days. So the rabbits can suffer from inflamed irises, ulceration, bleeding, blindness, and broken necks as they struggle to escape.
The Dray's test, Maya, it tests the toxicity of substances. Animals are fed a substance in increasing amounts to determine the single dose needed to kill 50% of the animals used. The animals bleed from the eyes, nose, and mouth. They suffer from congested lungs and kidneys and diarrhea. They die convulsing. Any who survived are killed off anyway.
Ralph, the 50% test is called the LD50, the point at which 50% of the animals die. Now, that is a test that was required by the federal government on all substances, whether it's window cleaner or soap. All substances go through the LD50. Of course, there is no proof that what it takes when a dog, how many bars of soap a dog must eat for 50% of them to die, how that is going to relate to human beings. In 2001, the version of the LD50 is started to be phased out through the, in Europe in particular, and the United Nations has also agreed. Now, this has taken years and years of struggle, but it is the United States and Japan who were the strongest opponents of this useless test. At this point, and before we go back to the fakery of this experimentation, I want to refer again to Henry Spira, to whom we devoted last week's show. To whom we dedicated last week's show. Henry Spira had stated... Henry Spira, by the way, is the father of the modern animal rights movement, a man who used the class struggle techniques of the revolutionary movement, of the trade union movement, and the civil rights movement, and brought this into action with the animal rights movement. What he said was that the animal movement had been starved of victories. It desperately needed success. We knew that we were surrounded by systems of oppression, all related and reinforcing each other. But in order to influence the course of events, we knew that we must focus sharply on a single significant injustice. We were talking before about some of these useless scientific research projects. And at the Museum of Natural History, for years and years, $500,000 each year was contributed by the National Institute of Health to the Museum of Natural History for studies on the sexual activity of cats. But in fact, it was what would happen to cats if you blinded kittens when they were 3 months old, or their olfactory bulbs of the brain were destroyed, and other such things. The museum was using 70 cats a year, torturing them to study what would be the sexual result of the sexual impact of doing all sorts of things with their brains. And this was the first target of Henry Spira in June of 1976. The tactic was to first get Freedom of Information Act requests to find out all you could about the research that was going on, and then to contact the organization, in this case the museum. When there was no response or letters, Henry went to the New York Times, but at that time the newspaper did not pick up on the story. Just in 1976, animal rights was not on the horizon. But a Free Manhattan Weekly, Our Town, published a long article with full details of these torturous experiments, and useless experiments, because these experiments never made their way into scientific publications. They were not cited, which is the level of what is considered if something is valuable, if the publications decide that it's worthy its publication. Now, this gave the campaign great publicity, And Henry Spear shared this with other organizations, inviting them to protest the experiments. The first demonstration took place in front of the Museum of Natural History in July of 1976. And these demonstrations went on every weekend for more than a year, with 1,000 people participating in the demonstrations at the height of the campaign. Well, soon the media noticed. NBC TV, Time Magazine, The New York Times, everyone started covering these demonstrations, especially after the group prepared full-page statements for The New York Times and solicited contributions. And the first animal rights statement appearing in newspapers was May 3, 1977. The headline read, "In the name of sanity, is this where you want your tax dollars to go? Stop the cat torture at the Museum of Natural History." Now, this is a long story of which we don't have time here today, and I suggest you read Ethics into Action, Henry Spear and the Animal Rights Movement by Peter Singer. It is a great read and also demonstrates how people can change situations. Because after the success at the Museum of Natural History, Henry took the campaign to the issue of dogs being released from the shelters, the animal shelters, to researchers. And he got that stopped. And then it was his effort that got the alternatives to the Dreyse test and the centers for alternatives to the LD50 test. Ralph?
The studies by physicians and the work that has been reported for a period of 30 years now is well summarized by Peter Singer when he points out that almost none of this work contributes to important medical research. Huge numbers of animals are used in university departments, from forestry to psychology, many used for commercial purposes to test cosmetics, shampoos, food coloring agents, and other inessentials. And this goes on because people are induced not to take seriously the suffering of a being that is not a member of their own species. The typical defender of these experiments on animals does not deny the suffering. They attempt to use the argument that they need to do this work because of the presumptive results in benefit to human beings. The results, in fact, are almost entirely devoid of any benefit or any serious application.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the internet at www.wbai.org. Our program today, A Vision of Hell, The Unspeakable Torment of Other Species, Part 2. Part 1 can be heard on our internet site, www.takingaim.info. Ralph?
The University of Utah and Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois injected beagles systematically with strontium 90 and then concluded that the results showed that they would die and suffer from from these consequences. That was repeated in labs for all types of animals with similar rationalization and with equally horrendous results.
Ralph, mentioned before the Medical Research Modernization Committee. Now, they published a pamphlet called A Critical Look at Animal Experimentation. And it is a methodical examination of why these experiments are bogus, just what you've been stating throughout the program. They state that by the early 1940s, human clinical investigation strongly indicated that asbestos caused cancer. However, animal studies repeatedly failed to demonstrate this, and proper workplace precautions were not instituted in the United States until decades later. So here we have an example where people knew that asbestos caused cancer, but because they couldn't duplicate the results with the animal research upon which they relied, to substantiate their findings, they didn't do anything about it. So now we have millions of people who've been affected by asbestosis. Again, let's talk about the low-level ionizing radiation from diagnostic X-rays and nuclear waste. Contradictory animal studies again stalled proper warnings and regulations. Also, the relationship between alcohol consumption and cirrhosis is indisputable in humans. But repeated efforts to produce cirrhosis by excessive alcohol ingestion failed in non-human animals and other species except baboons. And even the baboon data was inconsistent.
Right, Maya, this is a scientific theme that has echoed now by almost every serious investigator of the issue. In a study called The Human Cost of Animal Experiments in Nexus Magazine, Volume 8, Number 2, the statement is made, there's overwhelming scientific evidence that animal-based testing is grossly inaccurate in evaluating how any drug or product will affect humans and is, in fact, a grave risk to the health and safety of people and animals alike. And the study describes graphic pictures of cats with electrodes clamped to their heads, monkeys strapped to chairs with their brains cut open, their eyes filled with pain and terror. And people are induced to put these images out of mind and accept the situation because they are told by the government and medical establishment that such experiments are for their own good. And it is insisted that without such procedures, there will never be cures for the world's diseases, and that those who oppose such experiments are extremists holding back progress. Yet, despite the supposed stringency of animal tests on drugs deemed safe for human consumption and released under the market, 2 million Americans are become seriously ill, and several hundred thousand die annually because of reactions to toxic medications that are, in fact, prescribed. The drug company Sibagaiji has estimated that only 5% of chemicals found safe or effective in animal tests reach the market as prescription drugs. So, in fact, the outcome of this experimentation has vanishingly little utility. And indeed, much of these compounds were withdrawn or relabeled because of severe, unpredicted side effects, including heart attacks, kidney failure, liver failure, and stroke.
Ralph, the most notorious example of this is thalidomide, which...
Thalidomide.
Okay. I won't say it again. Which, through animal experimentation, had been released on the market. And then when it was given to pregnant women, they produced deformed children. Now, the General Accounting Office reviewed 198 of 209 drugs that were marketed from 1976 to 1985 and found that 52%, more than half of all the drugs that they examined, had, quote, serious post-approval risks, unquote, that were not predicted by animal tests. This is a statement from the General Accounting Office, the U.S. government, which is insisting upon these bogus tests.
Two important researchers, Dr. Ray Greek, an anesthesiologist, and his wife Jean Swingle Greek, a dermatologist, have made major studies of the medical and scientific literature, and they have published an extraordinarily important expose, a book called Sacred Cows and Golden Geese, The Human Cost of Animal Experimentation, which sets out methodically the bogus nature of the presumptive benefit of this torment and torture-ridden experimentation on other living creatures. Open up a rat, a dog, a pig, and a human, and you will find the same terrain but with significant differences. And it is precisely these differences, they state, which have a defining impact when it comes to assimilating drugs. Rats, the species most commonly used, have no gallbladder and excrete bile very effectively. Many drugs are excreted via bile, so this affects the half-life of the drug. Drugs bind rat plasma much less efficiently. Rats always breathe through the nose. Some chemicals are absorbed in the nose, some are filtered, but rats get a different mix of substances entering their systems. They are nocturnal. Their gut flora are in different location. Their skin has different absorbent properties than humans. And all with all these discrepancies, the impact on drug metabolism is extraordinarily different, and the inferences about their application are without any basis, any scientific utility. The cells of chimps are similar to the cells of humans, but the spatial organization of the cells is decidedly different. The impact of this difference is most significant in any of the inferences that can be drawn from the torturous tests that are imposed upon these creatures. The money is gained, the profits are realized, but the benefit is nil. The fiction that this cruelty, this savage torment of animals, this multi-billion-dollar industry related to the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry, which should be called a malpractice industry, that this arises out of any intended benefit to human beings, is exposed decidedly by these scientific studies and exposés of the real consequences of the torment of animals and the negative effect on human well-being and on the actual proliferation of disease through the use of toxic substances called drugs and pharmaceuticals, which are symptom-oriented and in no way address the underlying systemic causes of disease, which we have related to diet and nutrition and the abuse of the body, which these tests on animals but amplify in their torture of other species.
Ralph, before we close the show in the remaining minutes, there's a subject that we should get to besides the experimentation. Last week, we dealt with the horrendous slaughter of 10 billion creatures in the United States every year for food. Today, we dealt with the needless experimentation and torture of animals for so-called experiments of toxicity and medical research.
In just 15 years, 400 million animals subjected to torturous experiments for nominal research into cancer, not one beneficial result arising out of this torturous research.
Another thing we should look at is what is happening throughout the world because of the dependence, the useless dependence on cattle and other livestock. Changing the subject a little bit, going back to what we were doing in last week's show. Nearly half of the Earth's landmass is now used as pasture for cattle and other livestock. And on the very rich grasslands, it takes 2.5 acres to support a cow for a year. And on marginal grazing land, 50 or more acres may be required. Let's look at what this means in Central and South America, where right now some 40,000 square miles of the Amazon have been cleared for cattle ranching and other commercial development between 1966 and 1983. In the 1960s, it was the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank that prodded the Central and South American governments to convert millions of acres of tropical rainforest and cropland to pasture land for the international beef market.
Brazil estimates that 40% of the rainforest alone was destroyed for cattle pasture alone, and over 25% of Central American forests destroyed for beef production, export to the United States. Over 70% of deforested land in Panama and Costa Rica is now pasture for beef export. The very animals whose torment in the slaughterhouse is amplified by the chemicals injected into their flesh. The result is the poisoning of people and the production of systemic disease through not just fat and cholesterol, but toxicity and the inability to expel the waste, which results in detoxification of the system, as we have described. 1/4-pound hamburger imported from Latin America requires a clearing of 55 square feet of rainforest and the destruction of 165 pounds of living matter, 20 to 30 different plant species, 100 insect species, and dozens of bird, mammal, and reptile species.
Major U.S. corporations have invested heavily in beef production throughout Central America in the 1970s and 80s. Borden, United Brands, International Foods, and the other multinationals, such as the infamous Cargill, Ralston Purina, W.R. Grace, Weyerhaeuser, Crown Zellerbach, they provide the technological support from frozen semen to refrigeration equipment, grass seeds, feed, and medicines. But this beef industry in Central America has enriched the lives of a select few. But the rural peasantry
are pauperized.
35 million people in Central America are landless or own too little land to support themselves. In Costa Rica, the cattle interests cleared 80% of the tropical forests in just 20 years, turning half the arable land into cattle pastures so you can have your McDonald's hamburger. 2,000 powerful ranching families own over half the productive land in Costa Rica, raising 2 million cattle, most of whose meat is exported to the United States. Guatemala, less than 3% of the population owns 70% of the agricultural land, and again, much of it is used for raising cattle for export. 1/3 of Guatemala's beef production was exported to the United States, and the rest elsewhere. In Honduras, the situation is similar. Nicaragua. So we have here throughout Central America. Let's go back to Brazil. 4.5% of the landowners own 81% of the farmland, while 70% of rural households are landless. Ralph?
To feed these tormented 1.3 billion cattle, they are stripping vegetation, compacting and eroding soil, creating deserts out of grasslands. The average cow is given 900 pounds of vegetation a month, more than 60% of the world's rangelands damaged by this overgrazing in a half century, 3/4 of America's public western land, 40% of the 11 western states leased to cattlemen at subsidized prices below market value, 1/3 of the topsoil lost in the United States, 7 billion tons of eroded soil attributable to these unsustainable methods of producing feed crops for cattle, 85% of the rangeland, 685 million acres degraded by overgrazing, half the total amount of water used annually in the United States to feed the cattle and livestock who are in conditions that we have described in our previous show. And the overall impact, not only in Latin America but throughout the world, is devastating to the populations of the planet, because sustainable agriculture has been eliminated and commodity production has been substituted, the classical colonial model. Tea and coffee and cocoa and sisal, which cannot be consumed, are substituted for food production. And the great food conglomerates such as Cargill and Archer Daniels Midlands then impose the supply of exported foods at exorbitant prices through capitalist middlemen in each of the respective countries. The addiction to carrion or dead flesh or meat is associated at its heart with the conglomerates of capitalist exploitation. Not just the huge food conglomerates, not just the Pentagon and the defense industry, not just the animal experimenters and the corrupted universities and their pseudoscientists, but a systemic rape of the land, poisoning of the population, and torment for all of the species that is the inexorable concomitant of this economic, social, psychological, and brutal system of rapine exploitation and cruelty. What goes around comes around, brothers and sisters. The torment that we inflict on other species is a torment that is visited upon our own. And every aspect of the cruelty that is required is, again, an aspect of the torment that systemic disease requires, that the wars to sustain profits inflict, that the weapon industry is designed to sustain. It is a package. It is a seamless continuity. It is a system of rule. And the torment of other animals is linked inexorably to the capitalist exploitation of our own species.
Ralph, another example referring to cattle. Cattle production is a major cause of water pollution in the United States. Last week, we talked about the pollution from the hog farms in North Carolina. But cattle production is the major cause of water pollution. The organic waste from cattle, the chemical fertilizers, the agricultural salts and sediments are the primary non-point source of water pollution in the U.S. Cattle produce nearly a billion tons of organic waste each year. In the United States, cattle have done more to alter the environment of the West than all the highways, dams, strip mines, and power plants put together. There's also a loss of biodiversity. The U.S. cattle production has, and also the production in Latin America and Central America, have caused a significant loss of biodiversity on public and private lands. And according to the U.S. General Accounting Office, the GAO, more plant species in the United States have been eliminated or threatened by livestock grazing than any other cause.
70% of all U.S. grain, one-third of the world's total grain harvest, deployed for cattle and livestock, tormented and poisoned with chemical injections and toxins. Two-thirds of all U.S. grain exports to feed these livestock. 600 million tons of grain fed to livestock. At the same time, 60 million people die each year from hunger. As many as 1 billion suffer from chronic hunger and malnourishment. It is a deadly system. It is a system that inflicts this very consequence. It is time to understand the relationship between the torment of other species and the consequences for our own. It is an economic and social and political system that we have seen very, very clearly when we talk about imperialism and war and exploitation and oppression. But it is time to understand that it is not only our own species that bears the consequence of this. It is on the backs of billions of sentient beings who are tortured daily to sustain this form of economic and social order. And it is in our own lives that we bear the consequence with systemic disease, with shortened lives, with the rendering of the corpses of these animals that produces mad cow disease, with the decaying mass of degenerating flesh that is now inducing the uncontrollable spread of such diseases as mad cow disease. This is the real fruit of a system that rationalizes the torture and murder of living sentient beings on the planet.
Ralph, we didn't have time to go into Mad Cow, and I recommend people read an important book called Mad Cow USA, Could the Nightmare Happen Here? By Sheldon Rampton, Rampton, and John Stauber. Because they go into, in this book, not only the science and the politics of the investigation of Mad Cow, but how it actually was created through the rendering market, where animals are fed the corpses, of other animals. And while in 1997 the United States banned the giving of rendered beef byproducts or other animal byproducts to ruminants, that's cows, it still goes to all the chickens, and there are 8.5 billion chickens that are slaughtered each year. Any one of them could be contaminated with mad cow.
Very often, Maya, the Environmental Protection Agency and agencies that are supposedly designed to produce healthy foods are, in fact, the worst perpetrators. The Sunday Express in London exposed on May 27th of 2001 the hypocrisy of IAMS, the pet food made by Procter & Gamble, which presented itself as a health-oriented food. In fact, it was exposed that IAMS people had undertaken a systematic experimental program on dogs, deliberately inducing kidney failure involving operations on healthy animals that were later killed. In one experiment, dogs had their right kidneys removed and the left damaged to investigate how protein affects dogs with kidney failure. In other tests, the stomachs of cats were exposed so scientists could analyze the effects of feeding them fiber. The cats were sterilized and then overfed until they became obese and then starved on a crash diet in which they lost 30% of their weight. All of this designed to produce results that were redundant and obvious in their capacity. The hypocrisy of those who claim to be producing healthy foods is that it is about money. It has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with exploitation. And the consequences are not only for other species, as we insistently put forth, but above all, the consequences are serious and grave and devastating for our own, including the moral degeneration that is required to numb ourselves to the torment, the unspeakable torment, the vision of hell that is the condition of billions of living creatures that are our victims, and the consequences are as we have described.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenemann
and Maya Schoen. You can reach us at 212-209-2953. Please try again if the voicemail is filled. You can also write to us at Taking Aim, that's TakingAim, at Pac Bell, PACBELL.net. Our internet site is www.takingaim.info. On our internet site, you'll find an archive of today's and our past shows since August of 2002. We'll be with you next week.